Galatians chapter 6. I'll let you find it, and then I'll say a couple of things, and then we'll read verses 7, 8, and 9. Fairly well-known passage in the New Testament. You got it? Okay, I want you to meet Mary. You may know her, but I don't want to take it for granted. Pal, would you mind standing up a second? This is my wife, Mary. We have three kids. Will's an evangelist. He's on the ranch tonight. He and his wife, Sina, and Wendy lives in Northern Virginia. Her husband's a lawyer. And Wren works on the ranch with her husband. She works in music, and he's in charge of finances and systems. Mary and I enjoyed the service this morning. We came out this morning. Did you enjoy it this morning?
Yeah.
It was a good service. I learned a lot this morning. Number one, I learned when you preach, you don't have to have your mic on until after you get up here. And then you can reach and turn around your neck and put it on one side and the other, and then whatever. It's kind of exciting because I didn't know if the preacher would live through putting his mic on. It looked that dangerous. That was good. And the second thing I learned this morning is if you want to sing when you're preaching, it doesn't make any difference if you have any talent or not. Just sing. So I've never sung because I can't, but I learned this morning that makes no difference. So it was great this morning. I think this is our seventh year, I'm not sure, for being here at Gospel, and we always enjoy being here. It's always a blessing to be here. This next summer will be the 74th summer that we have had deaf young people at the ranch, and also hearing young people at the ranch. And you know this, but I'll just repeat it. The deaf that come free of charge. We have about 150, a few more, or sometimes a few less every summer, and they come without paying. And so we ask people to help to take care of the deaf campers. We figure it takes $300 per camper, and that's a modest amount. And so if you want to help with that, you can in the offering at the end of the service. If you'd like to pay for one camper, you can. That's $300. If you want to pay for 10, you can. But the wonderful thing about the campership fund is if you give $1.50, it will still make it possible for deaf young people to be at the ranch because it goes into the campership fund. In the video tonight, you know when they were sitting down one-on-one, there's three or four illustrations of a counselor sitting down with one deaf camper. Well, each one of those were campers that had responded in a service to trust Christ. And those were counselors that were going over the gospel with them again so that they could be saved. So we appreciate all the help that Gospel Baptist has been to the Bill Rice Ranch. We're very, very thankful for it. I'm still trying to get Brother Bill to come up and visit us. He's planned to on a couple of occasions, but health made it so that he wasn't able to come. But if he's ever able to come, Mary and I would love to have him up at the ranch. And you can stop by as well. It's 30 miles south of Nashville, and it is in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and you can stop by and see the place. You ought to stay for a week. Family camp is great. Family camp is great, and so are youth weeks. In our combined weeks, we have hearing teenagers, deaf teenagers, and junior age boys and girls in 1 week at camp. We have 410 teens. We have 200 juniors, and we have about 30 to 35 deaf. And so we have well over 600 campers those 3 weeks. And we have 3 day camp weeks for young people in Murfreesboro. And then we have 2 family weeks. And the family weeks, as I've mentioned, are great. you ought to come be with us. Let me mention quickly two books on the table at the back. These all belong to the ranch. They do not belong to me and Mary. If you purchase one, it goes to the Bill Rice Ranch. Lifted is brand new, came out this summer. A Christian's Guide to Ditching Depression and Discovering Joy. This is a good book. It is really a good book. It's well-researched. It's interestingly written, and it's biblically sound. And I was in Michigan in September, and I said something about this book. And after the service, a counselor in the public school system bought one. And he said, I want to see what Lauren Rice has to say about this, because he faces it every day in the public school system. So that afternoon, it wasn't even that night, that afternoon he called the pastor and he said, this is the best book of its kind based on scripture that I have ever read. And it really is a good book. If you haven't battled with some kind of depression, probably all of us have, but if you haven't, you have friends who have. And so I'd recommend this book to you. And then, by the way, it's $10. This is First Light. This is Will's second edition of Daily Devotions, 365. They're really good. They're clear. They're devotional. They're a blessing. And takes you about 7 minutes to read them. I'm from Tennessee, and I can read one in 25 minutes. So you can probably or doubtless do it in about 7 minutes, and I hope you get it. This book is $15. This book is $10. But if you get both of them together, just tonight and tonight only, you can get both of them for only $25. It's funny, it doesn't work in Florida. Tennessee people go, really, can we save that much? And so you can look at those after. Galatians chapter 6. You got it? Do you mind standing? Let's just stand as we read, all right? Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Dear Father, help us, I pray, in the next few minutes as we look at this wonderful passage of Scripture. May we understand it. May we see the truth, in order that we can live in light of it when we walk out of this auditorium tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. An 18-year-old girl was walking down the walkway in front of her house, away from the house to a car in which her friend was going to take her to the bus station. She was leaving home. Her mom came out of the house behind her weeping. And she said to her daughter, Janice, your dad and I love you. We don't want to see you go. And the girl turned to her mom and said, oh yeah, sure. You love me. You really love me. That's why I never get to do anything I want to do. It's because you love me so much. A man was pulled over on I-75. When the patrolman who pulled him over came to the window of his car and asked for his license and registration and proof of insurance, he said, what's the problem, officer? And the officer said, we clocked you at 10 over the speed limit. Oh my, said the man, 10 over speed limit? I probably should go to prison. No, I should probably be executed before the end of the month, 10 miles over the speed limit. A man in his 40s was paying taxes, and he had the help of a tax professional. Well, the professional said, this year, your taxes are going to be less. less, said the man, less. My taxes should be more. They shouldn't be less. I should do my fair share. Now, in each one of these brief stories, the person doing most of the speaking was mocking the authority to whom he was speaking. That's true of the girl and her mother, the man and the trooper, and the gentleman paying his taxes. They were mocking the people who had some position of power over them. Now, the Bible says in Galatians 6, don't be deceived. Don't be hoodwinked. God is not mocked. It may appear that he is. People may attempt to mock God, but nobody can mock God. God is not mocked. And specifically, God is not mocked when it comes to the truth that what you sow, you reap. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, I want us to see four brief things about this tonight. They're simple, but they really are important. Here's the first. God is the doer of sowing and reaping. In other words, you don't reap what you sow because of some maybe unwritten law in nature. No. You reap what you sow because God sees to it that you do. And that's why the passage says, don't be deceived. Don't be surprised at this. God isn't mocked. What you sow, you shall also reap. Then sowing and reaping is generally in kind. If you sow something, you reap in kind. Now that can be changed because the Old Testament says in Hosea, you know, you've sowed wheat, but you're going to reap thorns. Now, how could that be? How could a nation sow wheat but reap thorns? Because God is the one who guarantees what you reap. See, sowing and reaping is determined by Almighty God. Also, you reap when you sow in multiples. Now, we all know that. If you sow seed corn, you don't get one kernel. You get a stalk with many ears, with many kernels. So when you sow, you reap also, not only generally in kind, but you reap in multiples. And so God isn't mocked. You always sow and you always reap that which you've sown. Then when the Bible says, if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's not talking about salvation. You're not saved because you earn it. You're not saved because you sow something and you are rewarded with salvation. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about if you sow to the flesh, literally to the flesh, then of the flesh you reap corruption. Now, it's not wrong necessarily to sow to the flesh. For example, it's not wrong to run. It's not wrong to walk. It's not wrong or a sin to do push-ups. Well, it may be a sin to do push-ups, but generally speaking, it's not wrong for you to invest in your body. But when you do, know that it will come to corruption. But when you sow to spiritual things, they have everlasting existence. So he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now this is a wonderful truth, that when you sow spiritually, there never is an end to your reaping spiritually. Number three, the point of the passage is in the words well-doing. Now look back at the passage again. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. What you sow, you reap. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. Now look at this. And let us not be weary in, what's the next word? And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Now listen carefully. The point of the passage is not you cannot get by with your sin. Though it deals with that, and that is true. In other words, it says, whatsoever man soweth. So if you sow to sin, you will reap what you have sown. That's true. But that's not the point the passage is making. It's not talking about reaping because of your sin. It's talking about reaping because of your well-doing. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. See, we say to people, listen, you better hear me. You can't sin and get by with it. Well, that's true, is it not? But neither can you do what's right and get by with it. So if you sow to sin, you reap your sin. But if you sow to spiritual things, you can be guaranteed by God that you will reap in your well-doing. And this is ironic to me. We say, people think they can do anything and get by with it, but you can't. But that's the way we live about God's blessings to us when we sow things that are spiritual and good. Are you following this? Let me give you three examples. The Bible says about the church in Hebrews chapter 10 that we are to provoke, when we come to church, we are to provoke, stir up one another unto love and good works. All right, so when I come to church, the basic purpose for my coming to church is not so that I will be blessed. It is so that I can be a blessing. Now think through this. You go to church, and it says here in Hebrews that we are to stir up one another unto love and good works. Okay, I can't come to you and say, you need to provoke me unto good works. That won't work. But I can provoke you unto good works, believing that what I sow, I will reap, and that God is not mocked, and that if I sow spiritually, I will benefit from it. Are you following this? So somebody says, you know, I love Gospel Baptist. And by the way, this is an illustration. It's not even near the truth. But somebody says, I love Gospel Baptist, but you know, the people there are not friendly. Okay, how can that be taken care of? You go to church and everybody you meet, you say, you need to be more friendly. No. You go to church and you work at being kind, gracious, and friendly, and you will reap what you sow. And you say, now, wait a minute. You mean if I'm nice to that old buzzard over there, he will be nice back to me? Now you sit up and you hear this and you get this with both ears wide open. Don't you be deceived. God is not mocked. Amen. And what you sow, you will reap. Amen. See, trust God about it. Here's another illustration. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, the last verse, verse 33, husbands are to love their wives even as themselves, and the wife is to reverence her husband. So that's what the verse says. Husbands, love your wives, and wives, reverence your husbands. So husbands are to love in this verse, and wives are to respect. All right, so is that what the verse is saying? It's just saying, okay, now, husbands, you love, and wives, you respect. No, there is a conjunction in the middle. It's the little word and. Husbands, love your wives, and the wives see that they reverence their husbands. But it could be translated. Now, don't get scared. It shouldn't be. It's good English, and I am happy with leaving it alone. But you need to be sure you understand what the word is saying. So it's saying, husbands, love your wives. You could say, in order that the wives reverence their husband. Now, that's not the English it uses. Here's the English it uses, but that's what it means. Husbands, love your wives, and the wives, reverence their husbands. In other words, if you're a husband and you want your wife to be good to you, you're supposed to be good to her. You want her to live in submission to you, then you are supposed to love her. Well, you say, Bill, I've been married for 42 years, and I've tried everything and don't nothing work. I mean, I'm just a good, kind, thoughtful, loving kind of husband. It don't make no difference. She doesn't never reverence me. Okay, you tell God, I know you said you're not mocked, and I will reap what I sow, but about this, God, of course, you meant well, but you're wrong. Go ahead, mock him to his face. And you will learn that God is not mocked and that what you sow, you will reap. 1 Peter chapter 3 says to wives, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection, submission to your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, that is, if they don't listen to the Bible, they may without the word, that's the speaking of the wife, they may without the word be won, W-O-N, by the conversation lifestyle of the wife. So here's a wife and she says, well, how can I obey this old coot? You know what I'm saying? I mean, he doesn't even go to church unless I twist his arm. He never reads the Bible with me. How can I live in submission to this guy? Trust God. Trust God. Because the Bible says, your wives, if you live in submission to your own husbands, then they will be one without the word. W-O-N. They'll be one. In other words, they'll be won over. Now, I will tell you, it works. And the example used in that passage is Abraham's wife, Sarah. It says, even as Sarah, I love this, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, that's interesting. Do you remember when that happened? Do you remember when Sarah called Abraham Lord? Well, two strangers came to visit Abraham, or strangers, excuse me, angels. I believe it was an appearance of the Old Testament of Christ. But nonetheless, they came to see Abraham. Now, Abraham's an old guy. He's older than you are. Trust me. I know that because you're in church tonight. And if you were his age, you wouldn't be here. You'd be in a cemetery. So, Abraham was an old guy. So they said to Abraham, you're going to have a baby. Amen. Abraham said, that is exciting. So he went in to see his wife, Sarah, and he said, Sarah, now she was no spring chicken herself. She was older than I am. I didn't say that right. She was older than I am. She was an elderly lady. All right, so Abraham said to Sarah, and I get the picture, Sarah, good news, we're going to have a baby. Okay, what did Sarah do? Well, of course she did. Wouldn't you have laughed? Sarah laughed. How can we have a child, she said. Now listen to this. I'm old, my Lord being old also. Isn't that wonderful? Even when she thought he was a kook, she was respectful. Isn't that wonderful? And by the way, it had a large impact on Abram's life. So the deal is, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you reap. Here's one more example, giving. I love Luke 6:38. It's been a blessing to me for many years. The Bible says, give, now help me out, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed together, pressed down, shaken over. The Bible says, will men give unto your bosom? So the Bible says, you give and it shall be given. The Old Testament says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. The Old Testament also says that when you give, your barns will be full. Is this not true? Okay, so here's the principle in the Bible. When you give, you reap what you have sown by receiving. Well, somebody says, that's wonderful, but I don't think you should give so that you can receive. Why not? I didn't come up with this idea. It is not my idea. It's not this church's idea. This is what God says. God says that if you are a giver, you will be a receiver. Now, let me tell you a wonderful thing about this. If you are a giver, and hence you will be a receiver, what will you do with that which you receive?
Give.
Amen. See? The reason giving people can give it is because they do. See? So a man says, I'm going to trust. By the way, that's what living by faith means. I'm going to trust God that if I do with that which I possess what God has said, that he will replenish it, which is true. My son says, you ever hear anybody say something and you say, oh, I wish I'd have thought of that and said it that way? Well, here's what Will says. Will says, the giver will always be able to. Be able to what? To give. Because you're not to be deceived. God is not mocked. And what you sow, you reap. Amen. So you shouldn't walk out of this place tonight going, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. I'm going to reap from all the bad things I've done. Well, that is true. But the point of the passage is to walk out of here tonight and say, God, thank you. You've told me if I serve and if I do what I should, I will reap the benefits of my life. And that is true. And that's the purpose for which this passage is written. By the way, not to get in the weeds, but just before we get to chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, he's talking about taking care of the pastor. He's talking about taking care of people in the church. So the idea is you take care of people, God will take care of you. Let me tell you something. That's a wonderful way to live. Amen. You know, when you're worried, oh my goodness, things are getting worser and worser and awfuler and awfuler and badder and badder and terribler and terribler. What am I going to do? Trust God.
Amen.
Trust God. You reap what you sow. Amen. Let me tell you a true story and we'll go home, okay? When my father was 19 years old, he worked on the Graham Ranch in West Texas. He was a cowboy, a wrangler on the Graham Ranch. This is 1930. And my father had lost his parents. His mother died when he was 15. And 2 years later, his dad died. My father was the son of his dad's old age. And so my grandfather died when Dad was 17. Well, my grandfather, Will Rice, had left money to my father specifically so that Dad could go to college. But when my grandfather died, Dad was underage, and so they had an executor that took care of the funds until Dad became of age. And this man invested the money, and the investors took the money and they never paid this man back. And so my dad's college education had no funding. So when he was an 18-year-old, he went to the Graham Ranch. His aunt taught school on the Graham Ranch. It was really like a little town. They had their own post office. One pasture on the Graham Ranch, the Bear Creek pasture, had 7,000 acres. So you kind of get an idea of the size of the operation. And Dad worked there. Well, he talked to Paul Graham, and he decided, did my dad, to go to Decatur to go to college, Decatur Baptist College. He really felt like he should go to college. But he had become discouraged in his life as a Christian, because after all, Christians had taken his inheritance and wasted it, and Christians who had invested it would not pay it back. And so he was somewhat bitter about that. And then, of course, he lost his parents. He had no family but his aunt, but he felt strongly that he should go to college. So one morning before light, Dad got up and threw a borrowed saddle on Go West, his horse, to ride the more than 100 miles to Decatur, Texas, where he was going to college. It was dark when he left the ranch. He turned back. He couldn't see the school on the hill, but he could see the ranch house in which Pa and Ma Graham lived, and he could see the barns and the stables. And he waved goodbye to the ranch, and he and Go West started out on their trip. Well, in the morning, it was hot, typical Texas weather. It was very hot. And as they rode along, my dad became more and more discouraged. He stopped about noontime, nothing to eat, had no breakfast, nothing for lunch. But he stopped at a pond, and he took the saddle off of Go West and let her graze while he rested in the shade for a while. After about 45 minutes, he got back, saddled Go West, got back in the saddle, and took off again. He would ride on the side of the road where necessary, and when the prairies were unfenced, he would take shortcuts. So he rode in the hot afternoon, and the more he rode, the more discouraged he came. You know, he said to himself, all my life, my dad said, Bill, live for God. You'll always be glad that you did. And he said, you know, I've done everything Dad wanted me to do and Mom wanted me to do. And what has it gotten me? I have no money. I have no future. I have no job with a future. I'm going to college. I think I should, but I don't have any idea how I'm going to pay for it. And then he said, to top all that off, the people who took my money misused it, and I don't have it. Late in the afternoon, it began to rain. And my dad said out loud, wouldn't you know it? Nothing's going right today, and it's raining. He turned left on the Jacksboro Pike to make his way toward Decatur. And on his left, there was a large ranch house with a road leading up to it and barns and stables. And so he turned left and rode up that road. When he got up to the house, he said, hello! A white-haired gentleman stepped out on the porch and said, hello yourself, get down. My dad dismounted, Go West, and he said, I'm going to Decatur to college. My father was so proud of the fact that he was going to college. I'm going to Decatur for college, and it's sprinkling rain now. It's probably going to get worse. Could I sleep in your barn? The farmer and rancher said, you don't smoke, do you? You won't light any matches, will you? I have a whole year's worth of hay in the barn. I'd hate to lose it. No, my dad said, I don't smoke, and I won't light any matches. Then the old rancher said, what did you say your name was, son? And Dad, who had not said what his name was, now said it. My name is Bill Rice. The rancher said, Rice? Your name is Rice? Are you kin to the Will Rice that was a state senator that used to live over in Decatur? Yes, Dad said, that was my father. Will Rice, he said, was your father? Ma! Ma! Come out here! You'll never guess who we have here. And coming out the door was a little gray-haired lady wiping her hands on her apron. He said, Ma, you're never going to believe who's going to spend the night at our house. This is the son of Will Rice. She said, oh, my, Will Rice. Well, we've got to set the vittles back on so you can have some supper. Have you eaten? Well, my dad hadn't eaten all day. So they went into the house, and they sat down to vegetables and meat and a meal that she had warmed over again. And I've heard my dad tell this story so many times. He would say, I hadn't eaten anything all day, so I just ate breakfast, lunch, and supper when I sat down at their table. After he had finished eating, they took the horse and took him to the barn and gave him oats and watered the horse and left her there, and they came back to the house. And the man said, well, Bill, you've got a long ride tomorrow. You need to get some rest. And she, the wife, had made a bed out on the porch. The rain had stopped. It was cool. As soon as Dad hit the sheets, he would go to sleep. But before he did, the old rancher said to his wife, why don't we just get ready for bed out here? Well, my dad thought that's strange. Getting ready for bed for him meant putting on your jammies and going to bed, but they didn't. The old rancher took a Bible and he came out and he read a couple verses and knelt on his knees and then he prayed. He thanked God for his four children, two boys and two girls. He thanked God for his blessings on the ranch. He thanked God for Bill, my father, and asked that he would have a good night's rest and a safe trip on the morrow. And then his wife prayed. Well, after he had prayed and his wife prayed, it would have been reasonable for Dad to, but he was too bitter to pray. And so he said nothing and went to bed. It seemed like no more than a minute, then someone was shaking Dad's shoulder. Bill, he said, you got to get up. It's almost light. You got a long ride today. And he got up and he went into a full breakfast. This is what they had for breakfast. Fried chicken, biscuits, and gravy. And Dad said, you know, I ate three meals again because I didn't know if I would eat again that day. And after they ate, the rancher reached into his bib overalls and took out a checkbook. And he said, now, Bill, it's going to cost a lot of money for you to go to college. How much money do you think you need for this first year? Well, Dad was shocked. I can't take any money, he said. I need to work. I just can't take any money. All right, the rancher said, make it a loan. Well, I can't do that, Dad said. My dad always taught me that if you borrowed money, you have to pay it back, and I don't see how I could pay it back. Bill, said the rancher, we can afford it. Let us help you with your year at college. Well, I thank you, Dad said, but I just can't do that. They walked with my father out to go west, and Dad took the reins and was about to mount when he turned to the rancher and said, why have you been so good to me? You take everybody in, put them up, give them two meals, and offer to pay for their needs. Why have you been so good to me? And the old rancher said, Bill, Ma and I, when we were first married, came here and made a down payment on this place. And we started working here. God gave us two boys and two girls, and things were going fine. We made a loan at the bank with the down payment. But he said we had a year when there was drought, no rain. We lost our crops and cattle died. Then we had a second year when we had no crops and cattle died, and I couldn't make payments on the ranch. He said, the bank came to me and said, you need to make payments, anything, just make payments so that we don't have to foreclose. If you don't, we're going to have to foreclose. And he said, Bill, I couldn't make payments. It was all I could do to feed my family, and I couldn't. And he said, one day, a tall cowboy rode up that same road that you rode up to our house and got off his horse and said to me, I understand that you're having trouble and that the bank is going to have to foreclose on your ranch. And the old rancher said, I told him, yes, that's true. And the tall cowboy said, let's go to town to the bank. I know the people there well. And so they went into the bank, and the tall cowboy said, look, don't foreclose on his ranch. This is a good man. He has a good history. He'll pay when he can. He said, the tall cowboy, I'll go his note. And he said, that man signed my note. And he said, in a year or so, things turned around and we were able to pay off the ranch. He said, in fact, when my four children got married, we were able to give them places where they could ranch as well. But he said, that man came back with us to our home and he said to us, you're not in danger of only losing your property. You're going to lose your soul and your life if you don't make things right with God. And he said, he sat down with us in the living room and explained to us that God loved us, that Christ had died for us, and that if we would put our trust and faith in Christ, we could be saved. And he said, Ma and I did that. We got down on our knees right here, and we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, had it not been for that cowboy, we would have lost the ranch and probably our souls. And he looked at my dad and he said, Bill, that cowboy was your father. In the late 1880s, Will Rice saw a man who was in trouble, who was a good man, and he thought he could be trusted. And he went to see him and helped him with a loan and led him to Christ. Never knowing or dreaming that some 38 to 40 years later, his own son, broken and discouraged and unhappy even with God, would ride up that same trail he had ridden and talk to the same rancher he had talked to, and it would turn his son, my father's life around. See, you reap what you sow. And you know, I love that story. I heard it when I was just a kid many, many times. It not only had an impact on Will Rice's, my grandfather's family. He had eight children, all of them godly, three of them preachers, John, Joe, and Bill. Dad had three preacher sons, Pete, Ronnie, and myself. Not that everybody has to be a preacher, but our son, Mary, and my son is a preacher. And every one of us have benefited from the sowing of my dear grandfather. I never met Will Rice. He died before I was born. I never met him. I know a lot about him through Dad, but I never knew him personally. But his life, more than 100 years later, has impacted mine. And what he did in the late 1880s has had an impact on my grandson in 2024. Trust God. Trust Him. You reap what you sow. And don't get scared when you hear it. Praise God when you hear it. Yes, if you sow wickedness, you'll reap wickedness. But you sow to godliness and you'll reap. Don't sit there and say, you know, there's no hope. We just can't turn any of this around. Things are terrible and they're only going to get worse. Let me tell you something. You do what's right and you will reap what you sow. And that'll be with you in eternity. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Let's bow for prayer.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.